Yeah, I was surprised because I suspected, given the fact that it looked like the governor was going to have the nomination handed to him on a platter and that he was polling really well and he had a Senate seat right at his feet, I don't know why he didn't take the lead.
From what you've read and seen so far, do you have any speculations on his motivations?
Yeah, I've got basically two ideas. One is the honest-to-God truth that he said. He didn't really want to go to Washington, really didn't want to serve in the Senate, didn't really interest him. Secondly, the other reason might be is I've always thought, and a lot of people suspect he has presidential ambitions, and maybe he believed that going to the Senate wouldn't advance those ambitions, so he took a pass on it.
There have been these stories recently from, you know, Fox Business News, and John Adams from the Great Falls Tribune ran this article this weekend about tying the governor to these dark money groups and nonprofit PACs. Do you think that would have had any serious effect?
I don't think so. And here's why. I've never known the governor to shy away from a fight. So why would he run away from that particular issue? Whether, you know, it's extensive or not extensive, I don't really see that as playing ultimately into his decision to say, nah, I'm not going to do this.
So Schweitzer's listed as the Democrats' best chance for that seat. Do they have a chance now?
It becomes tougher because I think what's going to happen, and I think every reasonable observer expects that Steve Daines is going to jump into this race. And if you don't have somebody that has a lot of resources, a strong statewide name recognition, and can run a flawless campaign, it's going to be really hard to beat a Republican candidate. They do have a little bit of an advantage, and I think Steve Daines has an advantage just coming off of running a really strong House seat. So it becomes harder. There are other candidates people have talked about, but all of them have one problem or another.
Can we talk about those candidates that you've heard so far and your reflections on them?
Yeah, so I think there are three that I've heard bandied about a lot. One is Denise Juneau, the second is Monica Lindeen, and the third is Stephanie Shriok. All of them have various issues that would be a bit more challenging to overcome that Brian Schweitzer didn't have.
Like what?
Well, let's take Denise Juneau and Monica Lindeen together. Here's their advantage. They have statewide name recognition. They've run a statewide race before. That's good. That will help them. Here's the negative. They would be starting a campaign in, you know, July or August. In the last cycle, we were already well into this race, and millions of dollars have already been raised. They've got to raise all that money, and they're behind the eight ball if Steve Daines runs, because he already has some of that money out there. Another advantage they both have, though, is they don't have a legislative record that can be picked apart, at least, in their statewide capacity. So that's an advantage. Steve Daines doesn't have an extensive record, but there's some votes that, you know, maybe they could quibble with here and there. So that's kind of the story on Lindeen and Juneau. Shriok, she could tap into an amazing national fundraising apparatus. Big negative. She's never run herself as a candidate. Yeah, she's run other people's campaigns, but running as a candidate is completely different. She's what we call a political amateur because she hasn't run for office before. And, you know, they're just more prone to mistakes.
So if you're the Democrats, then, and hypothetically, let's talk about Daines jumping into the Senate race. If you are the Democrats, do you put your best candidate against Daines, or do you put more effort into winning that House seat?
Well, that becomes a tricky calculation at the state level, but also the national implications. I would put the best candidate you can against the Senate candidate, and here's why, because you're going into an election, it's going to be tough for Democrats because it's a six-year midterm itch, which means the president's party has a lot more trouble in those elections. The Senate's at stake. The Senate was at stake last time. It's at stake again. The prospects of the Democrats taking over the House are remote. So if you want to keep the Senate, you've got to put up your best candidate there. I think the House race is going to be very interesting because I don't have any read on that whatsoever. I mean, the way I think what's going to happen is I think Steve Daines has run for the Senate. He wanted to run for the Senate before. I think it's a no-brainer to run for an open seat. That's an easier seat to go ahead and pick up and win. So what I think is going to happen is I think those two Republican candidates that are now running for the Senate will probably move over into the House race. But so the Democrats, I think it would be wide open. I mean, see, last time could decide to run again, on top of some of the statewide candidates like a Juno or a Lundin if they take a pass in a Senate race. Might run for that House seat, too.
What do you think is next for Brian Schweitzer? Is this the last the Montana political scene has heard from him?
I seriously doubt it. I mean, he definitely loves the game. He's interested in policy. He's a smart guy. I think he's going to be involved and dabbling. And, you know, I think there might even be a better chance now that he might run for president to turn down this Senate campaign. Whether that's in 2016 or 2020, I don't know.
Dr. David Parker, political science professor at Montana State University. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
No problem, Dan.